This morning I'd like to look at a thought. I'd like to go to Genesis, the 32nd chapter. This is where Jacob was coming back to meet his brother Esau. And the 24th verse, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go, except bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." I wanted to look at this a little bit. Jacob, you know, it says there wrestled with him a man. I'm not for sure. You know, the King James says man. I wanted to look that up in the Septuagint, but I didn't. The scripture talks about man being made little lower than angels. I don't think we could really compete in wrestling with an angel. One angel, was it, slew 180 some thousand of that one army, one angel. But anyway, we recognize that Jacob was meeting his brother, and we know the background from that, how he had gotten his brother's birthright, and he deceived his father at his mother's admonishment. And so he's coming to face with his past. I think about sometimes how the Lord does that for us in our lives also. We may not wrestle with a person individually, but we can. The struggle is still real when we face ourselves, when we face the past, the things that we've done, or maybe the things that were undone. There can be a real struggle in getting a hold of God, and I think about a struggle with reality, a struggle with consequences, a struggle with life. There are many different things that we can wrestle with also in our journey. But I thought about the word came to my mind of crisis. And I looked that up. It's actually pronounced crises. I'm not used to saying it quite like that. I've heard it pronounced that way. I usually say Christ. I don't know. Some dictionaries say you can use either one, but this one just had crises, a long E. But the definition was an emotionally significant event or radical change of status in a person's life. An emotionally significant event or radical change of status in a person's life. Another definition is an unstable or crucial time or state of affairs in which decisive change is impending. The original word of crises had the meaning of the turning point for better or worse. That was the original. It's a turning point for better or for worse. A difficult or dangerous situation that needs serious attention. These are all things, and I believe Jacob faced, this was a crisis in Jacob's life. The synonyms for crises is a boiling point. You ever been there? Crossroads. Crunch time, that's one I had never heard before, crunch time. Emergency, extremity, strait. These are synonyms for the word crises. Jacob was definitely in a crisis. He was meeting his brother with his families, with his children, and I believe the Lord had told him to go back, but still it was a crisis. Even though it was going back to his home place, it was a very big crisis for him in his life. And Jacob wrestled. He struggled with God. I believe, to me, it's typical for us. Somehow, and I don't really know the ins and outs of the story, but somehow Jacob realized there was a blessing in this wrestling match. He realized that somehow God was involved in this wrestle, because he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. So I don't know who he was. I don't know what all powers he had, but apparently he was associated with God some, because he did. He gave Jacob a blessing. He gave Jacob, he changed his name. He said, you're not going to be any longer called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. My message this morning is that a crisis, though we don't like them, I believe God has a purpose for them in our life. Sometimes we pull back. We try to avoid. We try to circumvent crises. But I believe God has a purpose for the crises that comes to us in our lives. He has a purpose. I believe in them many times. You know, I think sometimes we pray, in our prayers, we ask God to help us, to change us, to strengthen us, to guide and direct us. And I believe change can come that way, but I believe it's more of an exception instead of the rule. It seems like many times it takes a crisis in our life to help us. And I don't know if I'm just the only one, but I believe it's human tendencies. I wrote down a statement. It says, we usually get too comfortably stuck in our habits, ways, and views. And it takes a crisis to get us to... We get too comfortably stuck in our ways, in our views, in our habits of life. And many times it takes a crisis to help us to see ourselves. It helps us to be able to see our need, to help us to recognize and to help us to be willing. You know, we have to have a willingness in our heart to want to make a change or to do something different in our lives. We have to have a willingness. We get comfortable. We settle into the habits of life and our views, the way that we think, the way that we perceive things, and it really takes many times a crisis to jolt us loose, maybe from our views, or, you know, normally we feel like we have the right views about things, but sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes we're off. Sometimes we don't really perceive like the Lord sees things. And we need a little crisis to help us. And I guess I've got a blessing in thinking about, you know, a crisis that the devil, that the enemy wants to stomp us out during a crisis. He wants to crush us, destroy us in a crisis of our life. But God, He wants to temper. He wants to strengthen the vessel. He wants to change. And this thought of crises, I read just a little while back the testimony of Dave Ramsey. I don't know if I shared it with you. I saw it on the YouTube. But Dave Ramsey is he's a financial counselor, and I don't really, I probably should listen to him more. I haven't really listened to him. I read a lot of Larry Burkett's books. He was also financial, but I don't even know if he's still living. But I heard his testimony, and his testimony was that he was making probably $200,000 a year. And this has been a few years ago. And him and his wife was learning how to live a wealthy lifestyle. They were going to Hawaii trying to figure out, you know, how the wealthy people live. And they were... But he was making that money off of real estate. They'd been buying properties. And I don't know if they were... I think they might have been renting them too. I don't really know all the details, but I know as he mentioned real estate. And what happened was that his bank sold out to another larger bank. And this other bank started calling him on his loans. They weren't working with him the way that the other previous bank was, and they were demanding, and he lost everything that he had, and he almost lost his wife. 2 years they were at the bottom. Who would have ever thought that Dave Ramsey had gone through bankruptcy? I never would have thought that. But instead of it destroying him, he learned some valuable lessons that kind of forged who he is today. He's very strong on financial. I mean, that's all he really counsels, I think, mainly is financial stuff. He's very strong on that area of his life. But he went through a crisis to get there. He went through a place of very great difficulty in his life. But it became a building block. It became something that he could step on and something that he could work with and something that, instead of it destroying him, it became a strength. to Him. And I think about crises in our life. I believe that's what happened to Jacob. Jacob was facing his past. He was facing, you know, when you look at the life of Jacob, he faced what he dished out. You know, the deception, you know, that that's what his name means, a supplanter or a tricker. Deception, that was his name in the flesh. That's who he was. He deceived. He put on the skins. His mom told him what to do. He put on, but I know he knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong as well. But he put on the skins and he went into his father and acted like he was Esau and stole the blessing. That was wrong for him to do that. So he gets deceived by his children. Later on, you know, they bring Joseph's coat back, all bloody, saying we don't know what happened, but is this his coat? Is this him? And the assumption was there that I guess he got destroyed by a wild beast. So we see in his life he reaped some of those things, but there was a turning point in here for him. Now, it's very important, I feel like, how we handle a crisis when it comes to us. That one definition mentioned, it said the turning point for better or for worse. You know, a crisis, if we don't receive it in the right way, and if we don't recognize what God is trying to do through the crises, it may not ever become a change in us. It may not ever strengthen us for something better or change what we have on hand in our heart, in our life. But Jacob, I believe, he prevailed. He said, for as a prince, he didn't let go. He held on to God. He prayed through. And God blessed him. And he said, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee. Well, Jacob's asking him his name. But he mentioned, he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God. You know, I believe the Lord can help us. I believe the Lord can make changes and adjustments in our life if we're willing to submit to what God is doing in our heart and life and recognize what the Lord is trying to teach us and trying to help us with. I want to notice a few words of a song that came also to my mind in the number 201, the song Humility. It says, the first verse says, humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart, where showers of blessing never fail and glories ne'er depart. O, make thy blessed abode with me, thou angel of the sky. He's speaking about humility. If I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. But he called it a secret veil, unknown to proud in heart. And then also in verse 2, he says, humility, how pure thy place. Thou seat, this is really what stood out, thou seat of holiness. You know, that's where God dwells. Thou seat of holiness, thou door of entrance into grace and everlasting bliss. Humility, thou door of entrance into grace and everlasting bliss. You know, if we can, like Jacob, hold on in prayer, and I believe it takes humbling ourselves before God to get a hold of God. It takes a humility, on our part, I believe the Scripture brings that over and over. It talks about God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. If we can receive, humble ourselves, and recognize, you know, it takes a lot of humility to recognize our own faults and weaknesses and to say, that's me. That's who I am. He asked Jacob, what he said, verse 27, it said, he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And I don't understand all this. Maybe some of you understand it better. But I believe God wants us. Did the person that gave the blessing, did he not know Jacob's name? Or was he wanting Jacob to see Jacob? Was he wanting Jacob to recognize who Jacob really was? When Jacob wrestled, I believe all these things were, I believe he was wrestling with all these things in his mind. He's facing Esau. He remembers the past. He remembers what he's done. He remembers his experience with Laban. He remembers all these things that's coming before him. And I believe sometimes we wrestle with reality also. When reality is staring us face to face, it can be a real struggle to be able to find truth, to find identity, to be able to see ourselves as God sees us. To be able to recognize I have a need, Lord. You sent this crisis for me to be able to change directions, to change my course, to be able to grow in you and to become more like you. I know the devil works in these times, but I believe God has a purpose, as He did for Jacob. He has a purpose in our crises also, for us to be able to grow and become more like God wants us to. In Psalms 51, he mentioned David. This is David's. David had a crisis also when the man of God came to him. And that was a big crisis in David's life. And it was a turning point. It was a place where he could have got worse or he could have got better. But he chose the right choice. He humbled his heart before God. And I wanted to just get verse 16 and 17. David said, "Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." Sometimes if we see failures in our part, we just try to work harder. We just try to do more. We try to become more involved. And maybe that's not really what God's asking for. He said, "Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Thou desirest not sacrifice." He said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise." That's kind of hitting the bottom. That's kind of getting to the bottom of the end of us, the end of myself, the end of my ways, the end of my thoughts, and having a willingness, Lord, help me. Help me to know Your ways and Your thoughts. I believe God is forging in our lives. He wants to work in our lives. I believe He wants to help us to grow and become more and more like Him. And I believe it's good to pray that way, but I think sometimes it takes crises. And when crises come, Lord, help it not to be a death blow to us, but help it to be something that can be a stepping stone. When we receive and acknowledge and recognize, David acknowledged his sin, he acknowledged his failure. Sometimes it's things maybe that we've done. Sometimes maybe it's the way we perceive things, the way we react. It can be a whole lot of different things, but God wants to, He wants to be able to bring change, spiritual growth, spiritual change in our hearts, in our lives. And I just wonder when he said, he asked Jacob, he said, what is your name? And Jacob told him his name. It's like an acknowledgement. This is, you know, we have to get there before we can have a new name. We have to recognize the old. We have to recognize where I'm at. I believe Jacob did that. I believe that happened in Dave Ramsey's life. It was the Lord brought a crisis, and the Lord does that in our life. I've had some crises. Probably have some more before it's over with. But you know, it's the Lord's mercy. It's the Lord's goodness. It's the Lord's help to us. If we're able to get a hold of God and pray, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me in my life? I believe the Lord does try to show us. He does try to teach us. He does try to help us. And if we pray that way, I believe God, and we humble our hearts before Him. It said it's the seat of holiness. It's the door of entrance into grace. Another scripture kind of came to my mind in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. 1 Peter 5 and 6. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I thought about that exalting. I don't think that's necessarily what we think of as maybe in the flesh. But I think it's talking about spiritual conquest and spiritual victory. But it says in due time. You know, it's a crisis is, it's not like we go through it in just a few moments and then it's over with. Dave Ramsey's crisis was a 2-year long ordeal. But he learned. He learned some things in that. In the verse above it says, for God resists the proud, He giveth grace to the humble. Humble that yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. In due time, in due process, in just a little while, just up the road a little bit, if we submit ourselves to God and we yield ourselves to Him in His hand, there's going to be victory. There's going to be spiritual conquest in our life that we'll be able to grow and be able to mature, and we'll be able to see things and get a handle on things that we hadn't had before. We'll have a better grasp of what God, of His, what He's wanting to do in our lives. Anyway, I appreciate that a crisis is, and Lord, help me to remember that. Help me to remember that when the crisis comes. But this is not the end. When a crisis comes, this is not the end. It can be, in the Lord's perspective, it's the beginning of something new. It's the beginning of something different, of a change. But the devil wants to just, he wants to grind us down. He wants to tell us there's no hope. He wants to crush us under the burden of a crisis. But I'm thankful today that there's hope in the Lord. I'm thankful today that God doesn't give up on us. He's faithful to help us. He's faithful to work with us. and he wants to help us to grow in him and become more like him. I appreciate your attention this morning.